Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, and I'm back. Typically, you hear me say, we're back. This is the first show post-Nick Morissette era. If you were not tuned in last week was Nicky's last show. Yes, I feel the same way. Although, she is editing and producing behind the scenes, but she's just not in studio today. This is the first show without the talented Nicky Morissette. I still think that at some point there's going to be a listener or two out there who will get a petition together to get Nicky back on the show. But it was by her own choice. She has moved on and is living and loving life. And, you know, that's what it's all about, moving on, changing. We're ever changing as humans, reinventing ourselves, moving from where we live to the people we associate ourselves with, to the things we do for work and where we vacation. We are always changing. So if you are someone out there that is just stuck in a rut, try changing who you are. Go somewhere. Go for a walk. Go for a bike ride. It's never too late to reinvent yourself. So, absolutely. And if you're just tuned in for the first time, as Nicky would say, what took you so long? And if you missed any portion of this show or any other show, you can always catch this show for free, trending high on iTunes as a podcast, Podbean, and SoundCloud. With that being said, we have a huge show for you listeners today. And we came back with I Want My MTV 2 weeks in a row. I love that song. Huge response after playing that song last week. People approach me, the few that listen to the show, all 72 listeners. I think we're up to 73. I recruited another one of my fraternity brothers from out of town to listen to the show. Because you can always, if you don't have the UPS app, WUPS, just go to the app store. It's free. Put in WUPS. Download the app. You can put it on your phone and listen 24 hours a day to WUPS. So I have a buddy who's going to be streaming the show and all the other shows on UPS. But I do have a complaint before I begin. I got a ton of law, but I do have a complaint to get to. And we've talked about this on past shows. I don't understand the rhyme or reason for these Michigan roundabouts. We have one here in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, just on North Main Street, just south of the courthouse and the county building. And that one's okay. That's okay, folks. If you travel to some of the larger cities, Metro Detroit, for instance, let's talk about Metro Detroit. There is a roundabout the size of a small town located on the corner of 14 and Orchard Lake Road. So where Northwestern Highway comes into Orchard Lake Road and 14 Mile Road, it's really confusing over there if you're from that area. But if you've never been in that area, there is a roundabout. I'm not kidding, folks. It must be the size of half of a football field. There is no way that roundabout, and I know, look, the men and women at the Michigan Department of Transportation, I have a lot of friends that listen, that work there. They do a great job. But I don't see personally as a citizen how a study would have determined that that roundabout that's half the size of some of the smallest countries in this world is good for traffic. As you approach it, and it doesn't matter in which direction you're approaching this roundabout, it's so confusing as to what you're supposed to do. Now, look, I can read signs. I understand red lights, yellow lights, blinking lights, yield, stop signs. But this roundabout at 14 and Orchard Lake is so large, it's just unreal. So I'm going to make a YouTube video of this. In fact, here's what I'm going to do, because this is what happened to me. I was downstate last week, and I went around into the roundabout. I really wasn't sure which way to go, so I ended up going around four times. I'm not kidding. I literally went around and around and around and around, and finally, I figured out how to get out of it. I mean, I was stuck. It was like a bad movie. I was stuck in the roundabout. Next time I'm downstate, I'm taking my GoPro, I'm affixing it to my truck, and I'm going to figure out how to go through this roundabout. I mean, unbelievable. So if anybody agrees with me, let your friends know, I suppose, or let us know here at the station. Okay, good news. 75 mile per hour speed limit, since we're talking about traffic. There's going to be a speed limit hike for us motorists and those visiting Michigan throughout the state of Michigan. It's going to go up to 75 miles per hour in some areas. This past Wednesday, or a couple weeks past, the Senate finally passed a package of bills that would raise the speed limit on some highways to 75 miles per hour. That is great news, folks. Great news. Now, pay attention. That's not going to be, raised everywhere. It's only going to be about 600 miles of highway. And the bill requires the Michigan Department of Transportation, as I said, I have some good friends that work there, and the Department of State Police to raise speed limits to 75 miles per hour, as I said, on 600 miles of rural, limited access freeways. But first, they have to have a safety and engineering study to make sure that the roads that will increase 5 miles per hour are safe. Oh, and the phone is ringing. But we're not going to take a caller. But whoever that was calling the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, probably Nick Morris said, I appreciate it. But here's the issue. The speed limit raise will also be based on what's called the 85 percentile. And that's a measure of current road activity that determines the speed 85% of the drivers do not exceed. Okay. And, I got to give kudos to State Senator Tom Casperson, Republican out of Escanaba, who shepherded the bill through the Senate. And using the 85 percentile, which I looked into, takes into account how the road is being used and the current speed people are traveling. But kudos to him for looking into that, because there are some highways that are 70 miles per hour and there is no one around for days if you're in some of those very rural areas. Now, also, some other good news. Speed limits on rural trunk line highways. That's right, trunk. I didn't say truck. Trunk line highways could rise to 65 miles per hour. Speed limits on gravel roads in counties with population over 1 million would actually decrease to 45 miles per hour. If you've ever lived or traveled on a gravel road with chatter bumps, you do not want to speed. I think dirt roads are some of the most dangerous, and I've lived on dirt roads. I'm on dirt roads probably 6 days out of the week. You have to be careful. It depends on the condition of the dirt road, if it's rained, has it been wet, what type of heavy equipment has been traversing the road, farm equipment. I always give passage to farm equipment. If you're operating a motor vehicle on a road and you see some big, big farm equipment that looks like it could be in transformers coming your way, stop and yield or get over to the side. Let those farmers through. Those men and women who work those farms, they work their tails off. I don't know about you, but I do. Every time I see, because I'm from the city originally, as you know, Metro Detroit, the big D, born and raised in Detroit. But whenever I see that big farm equipment, I always think of the movie Transformers. I'm just waiting for one of those big, big green tractors to turn into some, badass, fighter pilot or plane or vehicle and just take off. Transformers. I think there may be a new Transformers coming out. I'm not sure. But hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time, I'm going solo without Nick Morissette. Last week was Nikki's last show. But trust me, folks, Nikki will be back. She's going to be visiting the studio. We will definitely have her back on the show. And we have a lot of law to get to today. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the state Senate passed a package of bills, House Bills 4423 to 4427. They now head back to the House of Representatives, and they'll rework those bills before forwarding the bills to Governor Snyder for signature. And that increases the speed limit and over 600 miles of rural limited access freeways to 75 miles per hour. And it also decreases the speed in heavy populated areas, but it raises the speed limit on rural trunk line highways. I have to look that up. I'm not really sure what that is, but I do have some awesome information for the listeners today. We're going to be talking about what is hemp, what is it used for, and why is it illegal. I also have a story about an attorney who works for the city of Philadelphia and what he got himself in trouble for doing in regards to spraying graffiti on walls. So we'll get to those stories and more in a few minutes. But first, a word from our sponsors right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, coming back strong with I Want My MTV, taking us back to the early 1980s when MTV debuted with Video Killed the Radio Star. I'm pretty sure that was you can look it up, folks, the very first video played on MTV, Video Killed the Radio. I cannot sing, I think you know that. But if you're just tuning in, this is our first post-Nick Morissette show without Nikki, but she's listening. She's producing and editing this show, and we'll have her back on the show. Trust me, folks. We will do shows just so Nick can come back and provide you listeners with her awesome sense of humor and personality. I do miss that. But you're stuck with me listening to Todd L. Levitt go solo here on this awesome show each and every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. and podcasting on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Podbean. In the first segment, if you missed it, we talked about the 75-mile-per-hour speed limit that's being hiked throughout Michigan, 600 miles of speedways. I also complained about being stuck in a roundabout in West Bloomfield, Michigan, right there at 14 Orchard Lake. There's a roundabout. Honest to goodness, folks, it's the size of half a football field or some of the smaller rural communities throughout Michigan. And I'm going to get my GoPro, and without causing any danger to any other drivers, I'm going to approach it from different positions and video this roundabout. And no disrespect to my good friends at the Michigan Department of Transportation, who do a great job keeping our highways safe and clean and, you know, all that good stuff. So, but that roundabout, I don't get that. And I grew up down near Metro Detroit. My office was on Northwestern Highway for 12 years, just about a mile and a half from that roundabout. But the question is, during this segment, what is hemp? What is it used for? And why, and this is what I can't figure out, why is it illegal? Folks, hemp, believe it or not, is illegal for the most part in this country. And if you know, there's a big difference between hemp and marijuana as we know it today. So, and hemp, and you can look this up, I believe, and this is mostly true, is one of the oldest domesticated crops known to mankind. It's been used for paper, textiles, food products. It's unbelievable the use of hemp over the thousands and thousands of years. And why it is illegal, we'll talk about. But it just makes no sense to me whatsoever. And look, everybody's always talking about, you know, legalization of cannabis throughout this country, ending federal prohibition. But what about hemp? I mean, hemp is really an important product. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever that it's illegal. In fact, if you look it up, they date hemp back, fabric that they have found, dating back approximately to 8,000 BC. So how is hemp different from its, you know, psychoactive form of cannabis that people consume medically and recreationally? Well, it's different in many different varieties. Hemp is also called industrial hemp, and it refers, folks, to the non-psychoactive, and it's less than 1% THC varieties of cannabis. So that's less than 1% THC. Both hemp and marijuana come from the same cannabis species, but are genetically distinct and are further distinguished, you know, by their use. Not only their use, their chemical makeup, and the way it's cultivated. Hemp can be grown as a renewable source for raw materials that can be incorporated into thousands, folks, thousands of products. Its seeds and flowers are used in health foods, organic, body care, and other things that you can ingest. The hemp fibers and stalks are used in clothing, construction materials, paper, biofuel, plastic, composites, and more. So if you look at the hemp seed, you could take the hemp seed, and in regards to the nut of the hemp seed, you can bread can come out of it, granola cereal, milk, dairy products, protein powder. You can out of the oil, fuel, lubricants, ink, varnish, paint, dressings, margarine, body products, cosmetics, the cake, animal food, and flour. I mean, it's unbelievable. The stalk, the hemp stalk. And the reason I'm talking about hemp is because there's a big difference between, you know, active cannabis and hemp. And as I said a moment ago, less than 1% of the THC is in hemp. And it's been used for thousands of years. Some say, the historians, that George Washington grew it. And I would like to see it legalized throughout this country again, so that farmers can benefit from it all over the country. In fact, I would consider going into farming. I mean, you know, but the stalk itself can be used for, well, the herd, they call it, let's take the stalk, S-T-A-L-K, and they call part of it a herd, H-U-R-D. It can be used for animal bedding, mulch, chemical absorbance, insulation. It's almost as if God placed this plant, you know, which a lot of people believe, so that us, you know, that inhabit this earth would have something to use, to eat, to give us shelter, to feed our clothes. The fiber can be used for shoes and bags and netting. The stalk can be, as I said, it can be used for fuel and whatnot. But it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And sadly, folks, all the raw hemp materials are typically imported from other countries. And that's a, this is a really, it's an attractive crop rotation for farmers. It breathes in CO2. It detoxifies the soil. And this is all proven. And it prevents soil erosion. So, you know, that's really important. It can do a lot. But guess what, folks? For all you critics out there, the hemp critics, it cannot get you high. It cannot get you high. It contains virtually zero tetrahydrocannabinol, THC. So that's something that you need to understand. Now, in 1937, the Marijuana Tax Act strictly regulated the cultivation and sale of all cannabis varieties. And the Controlled Substances Act of 1970 classified all forms of cannabis, including hemp, as a Schedule I drug, making it illegal to grow in the United States, which is absolutely unequivocally obnoxious. There is no way hemp, how do you classify hemp as a Schedule I drug equal to, you know, other serious drugs? That's just ridiculous. I mean, I don't understand why the men and women who are supposed to represent the interests of the people of the states and communities and on a federal level, you know, increasingly want to harm us. I mean, if you want to help the economy and lower taxes, why is hemp a Schedule I drug? Folks, if you're a critic of anything and everything I'm saying, look it up. I'm not making this stuff up. Literally, I am not making this stuff up. But I think hemp is going to make a comeback. The 2014 U.S. Farm Bill, this is great news, folks, allows states that have passed their own industrial hemp legislation to grow industrial hemp for purposes of research and development. And those states, good for them, Kentucky, Colorado, and Oregon. It's always Colorado and Oregon. They're conducting hemp pilot projects, from my understanding. So I recommend, Everybody contact the men and women in the House and your local state senates and get them to pursue legislation and remind them of the 2014 U.S. Farm Bill. Now, in January of 2015, and this is good news, the Industrial Hemp Farming Act, House H.R. 525, you can look it up, H.R. 525, and the House of Senate, and the Senate 134 was introduced in the House and Senate. And if passed, finally, it would remove all federal restrictions on the cultivation of industrial hemp and remove its classification as a Schedule I controlled substance. That is unbelievable because hemp is the world's oldest domesticated crop, and it will once again be available to serve us listeners and mankind in a broad range of environmentally friendly ways. So I'm an advocate for it. I do believe George Washington and some of our other founding fathers at one time were hemp farmers. If I'm wrong, correct me, but I think I'm correct on that. I did research that at one point. But it makes no sense that hemp is considered a Schedule I drug. It's just ridiculous. I personally would highly recommend, we're a law show, the Todd Levitt Law Show, post-Nick Morissette era, I'd highly recommend that if you're a farmer out there, hemp will be the way to go. And I would personally invest in any stocks or commodities once it is legal and removed from Schedule I in the hemp industry. That's where there's going to be some awesome opportunities to get involved in the growing, cultivating, distribution, manufacturing, packaging, retail level. All levels of business will benefit, and taxes for the local and state governments and federal governments once hemp is removed from the Schedule I. And as I said, there's some good progress on the federal level. The states have now been given passage to come aboard and start to look into this issue. So we'll be right back on the Todd Levitt Law Show after these sponsors. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back once again, folks, this is not a recording with I Want My MTV. I hope that takes you back to your youth and teenage years as it does for me. Music, as we know, music and smells and scents and noises take us back to experiences that we've had throughout our lives. And something triggers in us and it reminds us. Music will always remind you of the good times and the bad times, a certain scent or smell. For instance, if you dated someone when you were in high school or college or just, you know, post-high school years or at any time in your life, if you dated somebody and they wore a certain type of perfume or cologne, and then 20 years later, or even a few years later, you know, that scent, you're at a store or restaurant or someone you know is wearing that scent, it'll immediately, something in your brain will trigger a memory, whether it's good or bad. So, you know, it was always depressing when you're a young person or at any age and you're dating somebody. And folks, I'm a guy that wears cologne. I'm a Dracar kind of guy. My cologne is so old, people think it's new. So I always wear cologne. I always have and always will. And I think it's important to smell good. You know, not just a good thorough shampoo in your hair, if you have hair, but put on some cologne, men and women wear the perfume. But here's the thing. If you're wearing a cologne and it's your first date, and the woman just is turned off by that, it may be your last date. Because the question is, at what point in time when you're dating somebody, do you tell them, hey, honey, I got to tell you, I can't take that scent, that smell. It gives me a headache. I mean, have you ever wondered why I always have these, you know, Tylenol or ibuprofen pills with me? Well, it's because I can't stand that perfume. It gives me a headache. And scents will do that. Some people are more sensitive than others when it comes to scents and smells and those type of things. So I don't know. When I was younger, if, you know, it doesn't matter how smoking hot she was, you know, and I mean that respectfully, if I was in college and there was somebody I wanted to go dance with, because back in those days we used to slow dance, which I don't understand why kids don't slow dance anymore. I get it, Stairway to Heaven, it's a bit long, but who of us did not love Stairway to Heaven and that slow dance? I mean, gave you plenty of time to get to know the woman, if you know what I mean, or the man. But, you know, if somebody's, you're approaching somebody and you're on a date and it's a bad scent, I personally, that would have been the last date. And it's the same here. What if she didn't like the way I smelled? I don't know. We're a law show and I'm talking about cologne and whatnot. But I don't know. My MTV brings back some memories. And I pick the music each and every week. Sometimes throughout the week, I'll hear a song on 98.5 WUPS because we play some great music on this radio show. And I can't wait for Todd's Rock Block. Hopefully one day I'll get permission to have Todd's Rock Block. And I'll just crank it and spank it, turn it and burn it 24 hours a day. I don't know if that'll ever happen. But in the meantime, I'll keep plugging away at the law show here. So I have a story here. This is interesting. This has to do with internet law. So a judge tossed pimping charges. That's right, folks. I said pimping, not pimple, pimping, like pimp. You're a pimp. Judge tosses pimping charges against Backpage.com CEO and two other ex-shareholders. Apparently, Backpage.com CEO and two former controlling shareholders were being prosecuted for the website's online ads for adult services. And this took place, of course, on the left coast in California. And Judge Michael Bowman of Sacramento County dismissed the pimping charges against the trio. And I just wanted to say the word pimping. So that's why I pulled this story. You know, people would say, hey, what's up, pimp? They never said that to me. But, you know, you hear people say that when you're out and about. And the judge ruled there was no evidence that the CEO and the other two defendants developed or encouraged development of the escort ads. And they were protected by what's called, folks, the Communication Decency Act. So the Communication Decency Act is a affirmative defense from prosecution at trial. So, and they were, these three were literally arrested this past October in California. And the allegations were that the CEO and its executives literally designed the website to be the world's top online brothel. That's crazy. But folks, the truth of the matter is, if you've read previous articles online about Backpage or you follow internet news, Backpage, there have been some issues about trafficking of, international young children and women. And they've had, and I'm not knocking Backpage. I'm just referring to other online sites where there have been stories that they promote. And I'm not saying this particular company, but some of the online companies out there are a platform for trafficking. And law enforcement has kept a close eye on those sites, not just Backpage, but other sites over the years. So that's a good thing that law enforcement keeps an eye on that stuff. Absolutely. But in any event, I thought that was an interesting story that you might want to hear about. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, this is post Nick Morissette, Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Nikki is producing and editing the show. So send in your emails to the station, Attention Nikki, and she'll be back on the show here in the near future. Michigan, hopefully in the near future, the Senate passed a bill, as we said earlier in the show, if you're just tuning in, that will raise the speed limit to 75 miles per hour on over 600 miles of rural highways. Once the engineers and state police deem those roads to be safe to raise the speed limit, some roads will have some decreases, and there's a few others that will go up to 65 miles per hour. We also talked about hemp. What is hemp? And I said hemp was one of the oldest crops, domesticated crops known to mankind. It's been around for 8,000 BC plus years, and it's ridiculous that it's still a Schedule I drug, but for review, folks, you know, those things are moving in the right direction. I mean, the laws are the federal government, January 2015, the Industrial Hemp Farming Act was introduced in the House and Senate. And if passed, it would remove all federal restrictions of the cultivation of industrial hemp and remove its classifications as a Schedule I controlled substance. And we'll keep you up to date right here on the show. Also, coming up in the next year, 2017, the minor possession of alcohol, so you can be in possession or consumption of alcohol, which is currently a non-jailable misdemeanor if it's your first offense, it's going to be a civil infraction. Now, I believe, and I haven't read the entire bill, but I believe if you obtain a second or third, it may become a misdemeanor at that point. But for a first MIP, minor possession of alcohol, it's going to be a civil infraction. We just need to get now the city of Mount Pleasant and the city commissioners to get together and change those nuisance party misdemeanors and attending a nuisance party misdemeanors, those 90 days, to civil infractions also, then I'll be a happy man here. There's a story out of Philadelphia where a city solicitor, city attorney, so there's a city attorney who worked for the city of Philadelphia, will not face charges but will perform community service after being identified, folks, as the man on surveillance video recording, will not face charges but will perform community service after being caught on video spray paint anti-Trump graffiti on a wall of a Fresh Martic produce store. So this is a Philadelphia city attorney who will not be fired for spray painting and destroying public property. Anybody else that sprays graffiti on public property, you'll be charged. But for whatever reason, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, home of Rocky, one of my all-time favorite movies growing up, when I was wearing old school jacquard in 1984 and dancing to, you know, Led Zeppelin for 15 minutes, Stairway to Heaven, will not be charged. Everybody else, you would be charged with malicious destruction of public property for spray painting. So you'd have to pay restitution, more community service, fines and costs, and you could be placed on probation depending upon which jurisdiction you were caught in. So bottom line, do not spray paint. Do not spray paint. Hey, it's Christmas. Christmas is coming up in a few weeks, and so far my gift of pea gravel has gone over as a huge success. The problem is when I hand out these little sandwich bags of pea gravel, because the Pet Rock made a huge comeback this year. In fact, I think this is no joke, folks. I've been joking about pea gravel. In some cases, I'm joking, but I actually gave Nick Morissette two little bags of pea gravel last week. So I gave her some gravel. But the Pet Rock, I read some stories. They've been sold out online at some of these department stores. And they're charging like $79, $80 for a rock. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? $79, $80, and I'm passing out free pea gravel as Christmas presents? I mean, all you have to do is know Todd L. Levitt, and you'll get a bag of pea gravel. You'll have like 200 Pet Rocks, albeit they'll be tiny, teeny, weeny Pet Rocks, but they'll still be Pet Rocks. Hey, we have to go to break. When we come back, we have one more segment and more law to get to right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time today, I'm going solo. I'm flying solo without Nick Morissette. Nikki is, last week was her last show. But I'm happy to say Nikki is behind the scenes producing and editing this show so it sounds appropriate and it comes out sounding the way it should, as you listeners have come accustomed to. Also, if you really miss Nikki's voice, Just catch us on Podbean, iTunes, and SoundCloud. We're podcasting. It's free, folks. It's free. Also, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all the listeners out there of this show and all the shows on this station. A week from today, we will not be airing a show due to the Christmas weekend. So Merry Christmas to everyone out there. But we'll be back in a couple weeks with more information and entertainment. If you're just tuning in, during the first segment and portion of the second, I was talking about hemp and the differences between hemp and marijuana. And, you know, the word cannabis often brings to mind images of, you know, people burning a joint or a bong filling up with smoke. But there is a difference between marijuana that you smoke and hemp. So the question is, how different are they? And from what they say, whoever they are, the difference was thousands and thousands of years ago, the hemp plant was bred with other types of plants. Thus, it created a plant in which the plant itself and the seed and the stalk have provided just an amazing abundance of resources for all different types of industries, from food to clothing to transportation. It's pretty amazing, folks. And the cannabis plants, you know, contain unique compounds called cannabinoids. And research, from my understanding, has revealed, and I could be wrong on this, but I think there's over 60 different cannabinoids so far. But obviously, THC is the most well-known cannabinoid that we all know of. And that's what's credited for causing the marijuana high. Now, the difference between hemp and marijuana, as we know it, is that obviously is the high levels of THC. And hemp contains very little of the psychoactive chemical. So the single difference is what most rely on to distinguish hemp from marijuana. And for let me give you an example. For example, countries like Canada have set the maximum THC content of hemp at 0.3%. And any cannabis with higher THC levels is considered marijuana instead. In comparison, medical marijuana in some cases produces anywhere between 5, which is really low and weak, to 20% THC on average. Although there are those of you out there who are following the law with your prize strains, probably tipping the scale at 25% to 30%. Any of you guys out there doing that, 30% legally of THC? But marijuana and hemp plants contain another important cannabinoid, CBD. And hemp plants produce, obviously, more CBD than THC, and that's a big difference there. The thing that's absolutely ridiculous is that hemp is classified as a Schedule I drug under the Controlled Substance Act. And this is what really gets me. We are losing money. Again, billions and billions and billions of tax revenue. You know, citizens who are, you know, looking for work could be working in the hemp industry. And because hemp is outside the U.S., my research tells me that hemp is grown in more than 30 countries. And the top hemp-producing country, dating back to 2011, China. Canada. Well, Chile, I think they got China, Chile, and the European Union. Hemp production is expanding to the north, our brother and sister to the north, Canada. That's crazy. And obviously, the United States is lacking far behind. But it's too important of a product that it should be allowed to be grown in these great United States of America. But there's been some movement on the federal level that has opened and paved the way for individual states now to pass legislation so that they can, you know, control and regulate hemp growth in their cities and towns and states. So I recommend that all of us contact our local representatives and get them aboard the hemp bandwagon, because that's what I'm going to be investing in Now, look, right now it's illegal. So am I saying that you should invest in something illegal? Absolutely not. But if you just heard what I said, the federal government has passed and is passing and considering legislation to give the states control whether or not they want to allow hemp. And they should. They absolutely should. So there is, you know, there's something called the Hemp Industries Association. And again, all these products have to be imported into the U.S. at the cost of millions and millions of dollars. And that's just wrong. Again, why are we lacking so far behind? The 2014 U.S. Farm Bill allowed states, as I said, to pass their own individual hemp legislation to grow industrial hemp for purposes of research and development. Well, we already know the research. It's been around for 10,000 years. And the, you know, the raw materials are incorporated into thousands of products, into health foods, organic body care, and other nutrients. So what are we waiting for? And just for review, in January of 2015, the Industrial Hemp Farming Act, H.R. 525 and S-134 were introduced in the House and the Senate. And we'll do some more research onto what has taken place and where they're at with everything. Hopefully they'll be removed from the Schedule I controlled substances. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous, folks. Somebody needs to get on board here already. But hey, if you're just tuning in, we're only a week away from Christmas. So if you still have some shopping to do and you listen to this show, pay attention to who our sponsors are. They provide some great products and services, and I would ask all of you to utilize the sponsors' product and services because they do a great job, and they're made right here in America. That's right, the sponsors of the Todd Levitt Law Show, these folks are made in America. I'm all about America. America first. I love it. Anyhow, I want all of you to be safe. Don't drink and drive. Make sure you stay politically active, and it's never too late to reinvent yourself. The new year is upon us, and so you don't have to wait until the new year to have a resolution to improve your life and those around you. So when you wake up in the morning, think positive and think positive throughout the day. When you go to bed, try to go to bed with a smile on your face, and you'll wake up with that smile still being there. So I wish all of our listeners of this show and the station, as I said, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And okay, Happy Holidays for, there's others out there, so I'll say Happy Holidays, but I'm a Merry Christmas kind of guy. And yes, I am 3% Irish, so I can't wait to celebrate. I don't want to get ahead of myself. St. Paddy's Day, I did one of those Ancestry.com DNA tests and found out that I'm 3% Irish, so I'm stoked about being 3% Irish. I'm not really sure where in Ireland my ancestors once lived, but I now accept the entire country of Ireland as part of me, a.k.a. Todd. So if you haven't done one of those DNA tests, they're most of them are $99, and they come with this little device, and you put some fluid in it, and you send it off to the lab, and it comes back, and you have to have an online account depending upon what company you go with, and you get your test. So there's a great Christmas present right there for you. So, all right, folks, I wish all of you again a great afternoon, and we'll be back in a couple weeks, a week after Christmas, right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. By the way, folks, tons of guests coming up. I've lined up everything from probate lawyers to wills and trust to Social Security, disability, personal injury, workers' compensation. I've got some family lawyers, Gazi Alex, coming back on the show. Love you guys. Merry Christmas to you and your family and all my friends out there. So we've got some big-time shows coming up with some big-time guests with some big-time information, all free of charge right here on the Todd Levitt Law Show. I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocate.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative medicine needs, and Innovative Insulation Systems for those cold and hot days. Make sure your insulation pays.